this is Neil Burns from Draw the Line. You're listening to Monday Night Talk on WATD. I'm back in the saddle again, baby.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And don't forget, hey, Monday Night Talk is brought to you by some great sponsors. S-Bank, where success starts with S, branches in Weymouth, Hanover, Quincy, and East Bridgewater. Don't forget, Life Care Center of the South Shore, doing whatever it takes to provide quality patient care, located on the Driftway in Scituate. And, of course, everybody's favorite pub, McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman, known for its friendly pub atmosphere, great food, and 54-foot mahogany bar. Check them out online, www.mcguigan'spub.com. Joining us right now, he is State Representative Tom Coulter. He's one of many representatives and, I was going to say state senators, but we only have one right now who is a constant. That's Senator Bob Hedlund, who joins us and chats with us on a regular basis. We have a number of things to talk to in the next 8 or 9 minutes. First and foremost, how are you doing on this good day, my friend?
I'm great, Kevin. It's always great to have a holiday on Monday and start the week off perhaps a little bit slower than normal.
I definitely agree. How are things as far as up on Beacon Hill? What do you feel are some of the hot topics that are going on up there at this particular moment?
Well, it's a little bit of an unusual year compared to prior years. Typically, we've had major policy initiatives each year. First year, it was marriage equality. Then it was gaming and the casino vote. And then it was EBT reform. Right now, what we've got in front of us is a couple of major investments in infrastructure, water and road infrastructure. We've got welfare reform as led by the Senate president. So we've got some major initiatives coming up right now. But you know what? The budget is always center stage. Unlike the federal government, we've got a statutory obligation to balance our budget each year and to keep it balanced and to not borrow against the future. So it's an ongoing obligation.
Normally what I try to do, you know, I have my own questions, my own ideas where the conversation could go when I invite in a lawmaker. And it seems as though that the trend with most, at least up until recently, was whether to talk about the tech tax. As we know, the technology tax has since been repealed. And I've given everybody kind of a chance to kind of weigh in on it, seeing that it has successfully been repealed. And having a conversation with you before we kind of got started, I found something interesting in where you had said that when this was initially a topic for conversation back in earlier this year.
In May,
that in fact that you indicated that you're one of the few Democrats who sided with the Republicans about stripping this out of that transportation bill. Why is that?
Well, it wasn't so much siding with the Republicans as much as, you know, part of passing a major tax law is doing your homework. And once you do your homework, you engage in what hopefully is very open and high-level intellectual deliberation and debate and attend hearings. Well, we didn't have a hearing, and there wasn't a lot of debate. It wasn't encouraged, nor was it permitted. And so as I did my own independent analysis, I saw that only 4 states had any form of tech tax and that 17 states, in fact, had incentive programs, tax incentive programs, to bring that type of industry to their states. And so I was a bit suspicious from the very beginning. So when there was an amendment filed in May to strip the tech tax out of the transportation bill, I voted to strip it out. And the reason I voted to strip it out is I couldn't quite understand it. You know, some may say I'm not the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree, but I do my homework. Mm-hmm. And if I couldn't understand it, I was pretty certain many of my colleagues couldn't understand it. And I think it was something that should not have had even been considered without a hearing and without thorough analysis. You know, there's an old saying for doctors, first rule of thumb, do no harm. It should be the first rule of thumb in making laws as well. Do no harm. And I wasn't convinced that this tech tax would do no harm. And therefore, I voted against it and voted to strip it out.
Were you surprised at kind of the outcry by not only by the businesses, but from folks from one end of the state to the other in regards to wanting this removed? And then finally, it seemed as though the movement as far as the industry itself somehow made it to the lawmakers in Beacon Hill to finally want to kind of roll this thing back.
I wasn't so much surprised by the outcry once it was passed. I was surprised there wasn't a lot of outcry prior to it passing. Mm. By way of example, the Mass Tax Foundation, Michael Widmer, he was one of the authors of this tech tax. Yet he came out and was outraged by it when it passed. It caught a lot of people off guard. The administration first had that in their tax bill, and they had indicated they had done a tremendous amount of analysis and that it wouldn't hurt business, and people seemed to have bought that, and they included it in the House and the House transportation bill. And again, Associated Industries of Mass, the Chamber of Commerce, none of them were really out in front of this. They were all outraged after it passed, and it began to bubble up. So I wasn't surprised at the amount of outrage once it passed. I was surprised by the lack of outrage because there was very little deliberation.
Okay. Let's take a moment to... You've got an event coming up Wednesday, October 23rd, about substance abuse awareness for parents. Talk to me about this this event and what got you to be involved. You're actually, I believe, moderating this, correct?
I am, and my team has organized this entire event at Silver Lake from 7 to 9 p.m., Silver Lake Middle School, on October 23rd. It's a Wednesday evening. Let me repeat that. Wednesday, October 23rd, 7 to 9, at Silver Lake Middle School Auditorium on Pembroke Street in Kingston. It's a substance abuse awareness program, and I'll tell you what this goes back to. During the last campaign, I was doing a coffee hour at a home in Plymouth, and a gentleman approached me, and he said, "What are you doing to fight to help parents become more aware of some of the drugs that their children are young children from fifth grade to high school are being tempted with every single day?" And we spoke for quite a bit of time. It was on a home porch. And he said, "My daughter just died several months ago. An all-star young lady. Had never tried drugs, but participated in a short-term abuse, you know, of the drug. And she died." And it made me aware that we as parents don't know enough about what our children are facing every single day. By way of example, there are children now, good kids, that are soaking gummy bears in alcohol, rubbing alcohol, for hours or days at a time, and then putting them on their tongue as they're chewing them walking down the hallways in schools.
You don't even know it.
And parents don't know it. So what this program is about, there are, I believe, eight panelists from law enforcement to the DA's office to treatment centers to this very same dad who asked us to do this. And they're very scripted in terms of what they're going to talk about, so it won't be a lot of long-winded personal speeches. Each of them are there to inform parents about things they may not know. And having had the honor of listening to a bunch of them already, there were things I thought I knew, and I really didn't. So I'm hoping it will be very helpful. It's open to parents from across the South Shore. It's geared towards the three Tri-Town parents. We've mailed to all of the parents of the children in Silver Lake and in the elementary school in Kingston, Plimpton, and in Halifax. And we hope to bring it on the road if it's successful once we get feedback from folks. And the hope is it's very instructive and can save lives.
And you're not going to be alone. I see one of your panelists will be our very own district attorney. Tim Cruz is going to be part of this.
Absolutely. Yeah. Tim is representing the whole prosecutorial part. We've got DARE officers. Mm. We've got the DARE office from Plimpton. We've got some detectives, including my son, Ryan, who's a Kingston police officer who's on the street every day.
Look at that.
Yeah. And we've got treatment center facility counselors. So we're trying to not just have a bunch of people, but have specific people that can speak to their areas of expertise. And we hope to open it up into a deliberative discussion where parents walk away saying, "Oh, my goodness, didn't know, but now I do."
Well, I mean, it's beyond epidemic proportions, and I'm sure the district attorney, I mean, this is a guy who probably half the crime that he's prosecuting these days, a lot of them are drug-related because people are trying to, they're chasing that high, and the only way to chase that high is by having the funds to do it, and if
right.
you run out of funds, well, then the next best thing is to see if you can find something to sell, whether it's your own or somebody else's.
One thing about District Attorney Cruz, among many fine qualities. He is a great law enforcement officer, but he's a terrific educator. Yep. When he speaks, He speaks from a position of authority and knowledge and experience, and it's very compelling. So, again, I'd like to repeat it. Wednesday, October 23rd from 7 to 9 at the Silver Lake Middle School in Kingston on Pembroke Street in the auditorium.
Okay.
Please join us.
Anything else that you want to make sure you touch upon before you walk out the door on this good day?
Well, there's a couple of pieces of legislation that are in committee.
Please talk.
I've just provided testimony. I think they're going to come out of committee favorably. Some of them that really, well, one in particular that surprised me very much, and it's called the pay parity law, comparable pay. I have a lady in my district who's a judge, and I learned about a year ago that she and two other females were hired at a rate that was $10,000 less than the last judge who was hired, who was a male. And it's now ending up in federal court under the Ledbetter statute. And they went to the administration, my governor, and said, this is terribly unfair. Same job, same pay, same job, same responsibility, same requirements, same caseload. And they refused to adjust his or theirs. So it's resulted in a lawsuit. So I looked into it and found out that John Kennedy, 50 years ago, passed the equal pay statute. But in 1998, it was rejected by the Massachusetts Supreme Court because they couldn't define the term comparable. Now, that's resulted. Are you ready for this, Kevin? That has resulted in Massachusetts women being the most educated women in the country, but 37th in terms of pay parity. Massachusetts women make approximately 77% of their male counterparts for the same job, resulting in the course of a career of making less than $400,000 in a career, less than their male counterparts doing the same work. In a progressive state like Massachusetts, I'm embarrassed over that. I think everyone should be embarrassed over that. And I embarrass the committee members over that, hoping to get it reported out favorably into the House floor.
Well, according to your information here that your office supplied me, is that our state is first when it comes to having the most highly educated women. Yet when it comes to as far as ranking them for pay equality, we're not the middle, but we're closer to the bottom than we are the top as far as being able to pay fairly pay our women.
It's exactly right. Now, you're going to hear all types of arguments. And in this bill, it's bill number 1702, House bill, if anybody wants to look it up. And I know I'm short on time. But what people are going to say, Kevin, is and I'll say it. You know, women take all this time off to go have babies and everything else. Well, that's nothing but a distraction. Because what we're talking about is when they are working, doing comparable work, how can they make 77% on average of what their male counterparts make? That's the discussion. That's the focus. That's what's I find very disgraceful. And I intend to fix it. And so our bill, 1702, is intended to address it. It's been brought before the House before, and it won't come up because I'm told by leadership it's very complicated. Well, so was in healthcare, and we were first in the country to do it. So it's about time we take it up and deal with it.
If folks want to find out about the substance awareness program that you're going to be holding at the Silver Lake Middle School Auditorium, which is 256 Pembroke Street in Kingston, that's from 7 to 9 o'clock. If they want information about that, or if they want information about the bill that we just talked about, how can they find out more information if they want to reach out and talk with your office?
Very good. For more information, you can contact Amy Belmore at ABBELMORE@hotmail.com. Or call my office, 508-732-0033. It's going to be a wonderful program.
State Representative Tom Coulter, join us, sir. We thank you so much for joining us.
Kevin, what a pleasure.
You got it. We will step aside, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.